This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Del Wolf. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. Today, I don't know what to make of American politics, quite honestly, sitting here in Canada. I cannot imagine anyone running for office in Canada and writing a book and boasting about how that person killed their dog and then also a goat. It just makes no sense to me. And I read the passages and I went and looked it all up, and I've just been, the only thing I can come up with is that Christy Noem wants to seem tough. I think that's what it is. She wants to seem like a woman who will do what it takes, whatever that might be. But she's off on the wrong task. That's the whole problem with this, and shows no humanity. And her description of this dog, Cricket, the German pointer, who was still an adolescent dog puppy and hadn't been trained and got overly excited and ruined a hunt. Well, yeah, that's what an untrained dog will do on a hunt. And then she took it to her friend's house with chickens shortly after, and it attacked the chickens. Well, it's not been trained. It's not been trained to stay away from chickens. It's not been trained to fetch ducks properly. It hasn't been put into a situation where it observes and learns. Nothing's been done with this dog. And she decides to kill it. So she takes it to a gravel pit and kills it. And then after that, I mean, I don't even know how you could even do that. Why not rehome it? Why not find it a home that isn't a hunting home? It's so simple. It's so simple. That doesn't, today happens to be adopt a dog from a shelter, adopt a pet from a shelter day. And here she is just killing it. The dog didn't attack a person. It didn't do anything that made it unfit for society. It's just not fit for a hunting dog. So the dog won't hunt. You don't kill it. You give it away or sell it. Then she goes and decides the goat needs to be killed. Why, you ask, would a goat need to be killed? Well, apparently it was musky smelling. I've never met a billy goat that didn't stink. That's just the way they are. You don't kill a goat for smelling like a goat. That's insane. And he was slightly aggressive or posturing with the children. Billy goats are like that. They use their horns to break things and bash things, and they bring about contests. They like to do, you know, when men sometimes get together and they arm wrestle, or you'll see boys play fight really hard to see who's strongest, or when two dogs that are friends meet at the park, sometimes they'll run at each other so their chests hit. And they're just trying to see who's the tougher one of us. Who's the bigger dog, right? Well, that's what goats do all the time with each other. They're constantly testing. And if you don't like that, you don't get a goat. If your goat is misbehaving, you sell it. You don't shoot it. So I'm really hoping that this will affect her political career. In Canada, I really don't think that we would vote for a woman who brags about killing animals, especially in these circumstances. It wasn't, you know, I saved my children from an attacking bear. Okay, we'd vote for a woman for that up here in Canada. We would. But not, I saved no one and killed a dog for no reason. That's just terrible, Christy. So I hope you all are paying attention to this and considering this, because it really does show to character. And that someone could get something so wrong that they would think their only option or their best option is to take a life is really shocking. And then to not have remorse about it, to think that that's something that would help you on the campaign trail. She's just way off, which this woman's lost her marbles. So I'm not going to talk about her anymore. I surely hope I won't have to. I hope you all aren't going to vote for her. All right. I hope she never gets put on the ballot, because this woman is bad news. Bad, bad news. All right, everybody. We're going to take a break and come back to some good news on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back at Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And I was watching TV, you know, as you do, and there was a commercial, and it was about a brand new kind of litter box, you know, the latest, greatest litter box. And if you've got a cat, you got a box somewhere in your house that stinks. And no matter what you do, no matter what litter box you get, as soon as you clean it, the cat wants to use it. And it always has that, you know, special scent, that fragrance. So litter box is a big problem for cat owners. It's a huge issue. But this company decides to advertise their product by saying this line. The announcer opens up the commercial with the line that says this: "We all wish we could hear what our cats think." Okay. Do we? Do we really? Do I want to hear what my cat thinks? I don't know. I think they might have very dark thoughts or commanding. Sometimes when I look at my cat, I swear he's not thinking good things. I don't know if I want to hear everything my cat thinks. Bird, 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 bird. Is that what I want to hear? I'm not so sure about that. But I would like a litter box that didn't smell. So if you can come up with one, I'll buy it. I think they'd probably say things like, "Feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me." I think they'd be very repetitive. Oh, what if you had a cat with OCD? No, I do not want to know what my cat thinks. I don't want to hear my cat. How about you? If you want to hear your cat, let me know. And if you think you do hear your cat, let me know what your cat's saying at dev@petliferadio.com. You can send me real questions. My dog won't come. My dog hates my neighbor. My dog won't stop barking. My cat won't sit still. My cat hates the vet. My cat scratches all the time. My cat doesn't like my dog. Anything like that. Or why does my cat do this thing? Or why does my dog do this strange thing? You can ask me anything like that, and I'll answer it, or I'll get an expert to answer it if I can't answer it myself. So anything pet behavior is very, very welcome. But also just the bizarre. I'm always interested in hearing from pet owners about anything they're thinking about. So that's deb@petliferadio.com, debwolf@petliferadio.com, either way. And you can do it with a voice clip. You don't have to type it out. You can just send me a voice clip off your cell phone, and then we'll play you asking your question, and we'll answer it. All right. So there's been some more pets in the news, and that's what I'm going to cover today. Sometimes, though, I notice pets come with really interesting names. And the first dog that Prince owned was called God. Well, that's a very strange name to call a dog. A dog checked into my kennel the other day. We're at Camp Good Dog here up in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Dog checked in with two names. Not one name. Nope, not just Chuck, but Chuck Norris. Yep, Chuck Norris is staying at my kennel right now. Yeah, I wish. Well, anyway, Chuck Norris the dog is staying at the kennel, and he sure suits his name. Sometimes I think people give a dog a name too quickly, and sometimes they take too long. Sometimes they give a dog a name, the first name that comes to them, they see him and they go, "Oh, he's so cute. Let's call him Cutie." And then they realize that, like, there's a lot of dogs called Cutie. A lot. You're standing in the park and you're calling Cutie and your dog's ignoring you and other dogs are coming, and it's not really the best name. So you kind of want to come up with something unique. But then there's people who wait so long that the dog chooses his own name. So I have two customers at my kennel over the years. Both have had the same problem. They waited too long to call the dog to come up with a name. And so they started spelling it. And they would say to each other, "Hey, does the DOG need to be fed?" "Oh, I don't know. Did you walk the DOG?" And that went on for a few weeks until the dog decided his name was DOG, just like it's spelled, DOG. So now we got two dogs that come to Camp Good Dog called DOG. And actually, I think that's a great name. But if you do take too long, your dog may decide for himself. So get busy on picking those names if you've got a new pet, and make sure it's something a little bit unique. We really do have enough Maxes and Bellas. And I am telling you, if you go to a park and call one of those names, you will get other dogs. So try and come up with something a little bit different. Okay, we're going to go to a break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio, and I'm about to tell you about a story that's a little bit complicated and kind of interesting. So, two dogs from a nearby property attacked and killed a woman near me in an area called Pitt Meadows, just a suburb area of Vancouver, in 2021. But the interesting part is, at first it was blamed on a bear, but then someone else was hurt in the same area. Suspiciously, people really did think it was a certain couple of dogs. So what happened is DNA samples were taken from the dogs following the second death of someone on a neighboring property. And because there were fatal traumatic injuries, mostly to the arms and the legs of the person, it was consistent with a dog attack or coyote attack or wolf attack. But the authorities, the conservation officers, initially did think it was a black bear. However, now they've taken the DNA analysis of hair and saliva samples, and they figured out that it was the dogs. So it took 2 years, and the people are in trouble because they denied having a dangerous dog, and it manifested a propensity to cause harm to others, was not taken under control, and they did nothing about it. So that's good. But I find it just fascinating. The DNA can be used this way. And both the dogs were euthanized in January 2023. So 2 years after they killed the first person and then killed another person. And this idea that your dog has a propensity, it's quite a confusing, you know, how do you know your dog? The first time a dog bites, nobody expects it, right? Everyone says, oh my God, he's never done that before. Well, of course not. There's going to be a first time. But should you have expected it? Was he growling? Was he resource guarding? Was he not liking people going near his bowl or his favorite sofa or his toys? Was he not moving off the couch when you wanted the couch? Was he insisting on holding his ground in certain ways? All these are signs that, you know, you go to grab his collar and he looks at you like, don't do it. Okay, those are all signs that a dog is not accepting your authority, not comfortable with your relationship, and likely to make a power play, which is going to be with his mouth. So if you've got a dog who's behaving this way, you need to train him. If you've got a dog who drags you around the neighborhood, stop it. Every time you let that dog do that, he's reestablishing his control over you. And it doesn't matter if he's a minpin or a Great Dane. If he's a minpin and the leash breaks, he's going to just go. Maybe he'll get hit by a car. Maybe he'll attack some giant dog and get in trouble. Who knows what he'll do if he's untrained? He really needs your help learning how to behave properly, successfully, peacefully with other animals and people in life. And that all starts with the leash. If your dog isn't behaving on a leash, he's not going to behave off a leash. Now, I get flack on that. I get people coming here and saying to me, oh, well, he's only aggressive when he's on a leash. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, when he's on a leash, he feels less able to run away, less able to take charge of the situation, more dependent on you. And a dog who has real issues might be more aggressive on leash, but that doesn't mean you let them go and hope for the best, which is exactly what people do. They let them go and they hope for the best. And then they start calling out to people approaching, is your dog friendly? Or they'll even ask you the gender of your dog. Is your dog a female? Because they've got a female who hates females or a male who hates males. No, people, you can't be doing that. If your dog isn't perfectly well-behaved and peaceful with others, then he needs to be on a leash all the time. And if he's horrible on leash, pay for a training lesson. It will take one lesson That's it. In fact, it takes minutes to get a dog to heal. So if you're out there listening and maybe your dog isn't aggressive, but he's pulling you around, maybe he's a breed that likes to pull. There's a few of them out there. Huskies, German Shepherds, Dalmatians. If you let them, they'll walk lead. They'll walk in the lead and pull you, drag you. They will set the pace. They will try to determine the course. They will be the leader of the walk. But that's not ideal. Definitely not. So what you want to do right away, you start your walk. The first few steps, if he's pulling or she's pulling, you just stop. I'm not walking rudely. I only walk politely. It doesn't take very long for most dogs to learn, literally minutes, seconds. And they go, wait a minute, if I pull, she stops. So I'm not going to pull anymore because I really want to go to the park. Simple. The trick is to remember, because later on in the walk, you'll forget. You'll be talking to a friend or drinking your mocha or just thinking about things. And the dog will start pulling in its own habit. And that's when you got to correct him again. Stop walking. If he wants something badly, like to get to his friend or to greet your daughter coming home from school, or to play in the park, or there's a destination he wants, that's great. Use it. You're going to show him that when he heals nicely, he gets that destination. When he's rude, you go the opposite way. He watches as your daughter's standing there and you guys walk away from her, even though he wants to greet her. It's a total wake-up call for him. Mind blown. He just sits there going, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then he starts to pay attention. As he heals and you walk toward her, oh, great. He gets all excited again and he breaks the heel and you turn away. And you just keep doing that until he accepts that if we walk nicely, the world is ours. We get everything we want. And if we walk rudely, we get nothing. So if you're interested in seeing that demonstrated, I have it on YouTube. It's free. Just go on there. Deb Wolf, Pet Expert on YouTube. There's about, well, probably 50 training tips, but there's about 5 really solid core training tips. Come, sit, stay, heal, all the basics. So go to that. Check it out. Gives you many ways to train many different kinds of dogs very easily, very quickly, with a lot of positive approach. There's nothing unpleasant at all. You'll be having a good time. Your wrists won't hurt. Your arms won't hurt. The dog won't be upset with you. He'll actually enjoy the training. And even though you might think your dog wants to lead the walk, he'll love the walk more when you're in charge. So I'm going to leave you with that training advice. And let's see. Wanted to talk a little bit more about the day today, because it is adopt a dog or cat from a shelter day. And I think that should be every day. So it doesn't matter that the show will be airing different times for different people. That's okay, because every day should be adopt a dog or cat from a shelter day. The dogs and the cats in the shelters are incredible animals. There's every kind of dog or cat there, and you can find the match for you. Someone else rejected this animal, but that doesn't mean it's not a good animal. They may have rejected it because they became allergic, or someone in their family got ill, or someone lost their job, or someone lost their residence. It could be something like that. The kid moved out that owned the dog. Anything like that. It's not necessarily the dog that caused the problem, or the cat. In fact, it's likely they didn't. A lot of times, cats are sent there just because they don't get the litter box right. And a lot of times that's because the humans didn't set it up right. Simple as that. You set it up right, you'll have a good cat. So when you go to a shelter, you want to make sure you spend time with the animal. It's really easy to fall in love with a picture or a cute spot or bright blue eyes or something strange about a dog or a cat and then go home with the wrong pet, you know? So you want to make sure it's a pet. If you can take it for a walk, take it for a walk. Take the dog for some time. And toward the end, say they give you 20 minutes. They say you can take it for a 20-minute walk. If at 15, you're already eager to go back, that's not the dog for you. Just take it back and try another one. Try another day. Try another place. But if at 15 minutes, you can't bear the thought of taking that dog back, like you just hate that you can't believe it's already been 15 minutes and you wish that there would be another hour, all right, now you're on the right track. Now you've got a dog you can work with. And hopefully on that walk, you tried to see if you could get it to sit, if you could teach it something, maybe a new trick, if you could get it to take a treat from you gently, if you could heel by other dogs, if you could get it, even though it's on a leash, calling it with the word come and seeing its response, trying different things, just seeing if you have a connection with this dog and if you're going to enjoy working with it. So that's really key. I also think that there's some great advantages to the internet now. So in Canada, anyway, if you wanted a dog from an SPCA, you could look on a list of all the dogs in all the SPCAs of your province and be able to find one. So let's just say I love Rottweilers. Rottweilers are my breed and I want to rescue one. That's how I do it. I just look up Rottweiler and I'll find all the Rottweilers in my area that are in shelters and be able to look at pictures of them. I might be able to phone and talk about them. I might be able to, if I'm very serious about a particular dog, they'll ship it to my local SPCA so I can meet it. So there's a lot of advantages to doing this as opposed to going to a breeder and getting a puppy that's very young and needs to be taught absolutely everything. Can't be left alone at night. Can't be left alone during the day when you go to work. Needs people to visit on it. Needs a lot more, right? Like a baby, like any baby, needs more of your time and attention. So getting a dog at a shelter, somebody else already put in that work. They already know not to go to the bathroom in the house, and they already know basic rules of life. So now you just get to build on that. And oftentimes you're getting a dog who's had it real good, lost it all, and is waiting for that opportunity. So when you adopt him, it's not that he won't bond with you. He'll bond with you and then some. There's gratitude in that. He knows what he lost and he knows what he got back. He knows where he's been. He's really, really aware of it all. And the sun basically rises and sets on your head. You are the savior for that dog. That's how it goes. And he'll be giving back to you every day. It's a completely different relationship than a silver spoon puppy that you adopt, which is also a wonderful relationship. I have dogs. I have a blue heeler that I rescued, who's now quite elderly. And I have some other dogs, a couple that were born here, Doodle and a poodle that were born here. And it's not that the relationships are better or less. It's just different. It's just different. That blue heeler watches my back. That blue heeler, his whole life is about me. And partly that's his breed because he's a shepherd and he wants to bond with the human shepherd. Partly that's the breed, but a lot of it's the rescue. He's just so grateful for everything I've given him. And you won't get that from a puppy that never had a hungry day or a noisy night in a shelter. A puppy that's been raised with love and goodness every day of its life doesn't know that there's anything else. So it's a little bit of a different relationship, and it's definitely something to consider. All right, everybody, we're almost done with the time today. It went so fast. Okay, I'm going to throw in one more tip. So for the people out there with cats that kill things, cats that kill things. This is like that politician killing her dog because it chased dogs or it chased ducks or chickens or turkeys. You know, cats are meant to kill things. They're little predators. They're also prey. They're so small. They're prey to so many animals, but they're also predators. They're carnivores and they like to hunt. They want to hunt. They hunt rodents primarily, which in our society now that we're so plagued by rodents is a good thing, but they also hunt birds, which is not a good thing because the birds are suffering from all our light pollution and different climate changes and fires, and the birds need our help. And ideally, your cats would be catching mice and not birds. So how do you arrange that? Well, one easy way is to bell your cat. You've seen those little bells. You put a collar on your cat, you put a bell on the collar. And then when he gets close to a bird, the bird hears the bell and flies away. So that's one real easy way. Unfortunately, there's the odd cat. And I will say it's quite rare, but I've seen it more than once now, who's smart enough to put the bell in his mouth just before he pounces and then let the bell go. So the bird doesn't have much warning at all. So that's, if your cat's one of those, you're going to have problems with this, but that's really, really a rare cat. Most of them don't figure it out. And with a little bit of a knot or a bump in the collar, you can make it so the bell doesn't slip around to the front where the cat can grab it. So the bell's on the back all the time. You can do that. You can MacGyver it a little bit. So the bell is a really good option. Another really good option, if you're going to let your cats outside, is to have the kind of cat doors that have a little switch in them so they can be open both ways or closed both ways or open one way and closed another. And the reason that's so good is because in the morning, I have these kind of cat doors. I get up and I open them. So now my cats can go out all day, do their thing. Around 4 or 5 o'clock, now this time of year, a little later, around 6 or 7, as it's starting to you know, maybe get toward dusk. I set it so once they come in, they can't go back out again. They have to come in and stay in. Now, that's good for me because it's good for the cat's safety. It means they're not out at night when coyotes are out and all the things that would prey on them when there's less traffic and there's more predators. They're not out. So that's a good thing. But it also means they're not out for that pre-dawn. That's when it used to happen. They get the baby birds in their nests right in the early, early morning. So if your cats are still inside sleeping on your bed and they don't get let out till 8 or 9 o'clock, they're not going to get those birds. Everything's changed. And one of the best side effects of this is you don't get little critters left dead in your house. They're not being brought back anymore. So I made this change recently. I had these kind of cat doors for years, and then the switches broke, and I didn't realize how important the switches were. I was letting my cats just come and go whenever they wanted. And then recently I replaced them with new cat doors. I just ordered off Amazon. It was really easy to install, and just took the old one out, put the new one in. And so now they're forced to be inside all night long, and it's just changed dramatically. I haven't had a bird killed since, not one, since I switched the cat doors over. And it used to be often, I hate to say it, but it was too often. And now, no birds, no dead birds at all. So I highly recommend switching your cat doors to the kind where you can close your cats in at night. And if you're listening to this and you're saying, oh, that's terrible advice, cats should be kept inside all the time, I do realize that that's the modern thinking among most of the cat experts. Most people believe cats should always be inside all the time now. It is true that a cat's lifespan is shorter if it's allowed outdoor time, that it could get hit by a car, could get hurt by other cats or by predators. But quality of life is also something to consider. And so if you are confining your cat all the time to an indoor life, you might want to consider some of the patio furniture or creating an enclosed patio, because they really weren't meant to be like space creatures in spaceships always inside. They are animals meant to be in the outside. So if you are going to have cats that are indoor only, please consider creating an outdoor safe space for them where they can't escape, but they can at least experience the outside, sunshine, the shade, the sound of nature, the smells of nature. You'll have a happier cat and you'll have a less fat cat if it has outdoor time, everybody. Okay, we've run out of time on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. From me and from the station, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.